Welcome back to Hot D in the Morning. Today we got Ryan and James joining us to talk some Hot D, baby.
Today, in the news, looks like the Iranian Revolution has kidnapped several American hostages. But on the charts, we got Bryan Adams and the Summer of 65.
Guys, can you see me?
Yeah. Talk guys? To us, baby.
Sorry, guys. Can you just turn up the brightness on this podcast? I can't see anything.
Oh, it's terrible.
Guys? Sorry, a few years ago, we did a podcast about Game of Thrones, and we talked about how we couldn't see anything. I suppose we've learned nothing on the subject, because I still can't see anything.
Yeah, it was Dirk.
It was so gosh dang Dirk. Oh. Welcome back to the Hot D Podcast, brought to you by the HBO Boys. We are here today to talk about two episodes, because we didn't do one last week, and we apologize profusely. Talking about 106 and 107, and I don't know the names of those. Do you guys know the names of those?
Life Happens, Baby.
Yeah, sure. Episode 6 is Life Happens, Baby, and episode 7 is...
Too Dark to Handle.
Too Dark to Handle.
Family.
Family.
Family. It is called Season 1, Episode 7, Driftmark.
That makes a lot of sense.
Thank it's you, where they were.
Season
1, James.
Episode 6, The Princess and the Queen.
Adam, write the recap next time, too.
Yes. We are in...
Yeah. 10 years later, Rhaenyra navigates Alicent's continued...
Whoa. Her lies. Okay. Allison's lying. The as I recall, 106 opens up with Rhaenyra giving birth, and then immediately the queen just like, come see me over here, bring the goddamn baby. And then the moment Allison looks at the baby,
She saw the queen, and then the queen was like, why are you here?
Which was a total B move, because like Allison's already had kids at this point, so she should know what it's like. You know, the day after you give birth. And then also...
Right. Not the day after. The day of.
Time jump, baby.
5 minutes ago.
Let's do the time jump again.
10 years, right?
Everyone's old now.
Yeah.
Everyone's aged 10 years, except for the Rogue P, who has not aged at all, and King Viserys, who has aged 40 years.
Who is Gollum now. Right.
Yeah.
So, we're in this time jump right here. These two episodes that we're talking about is the 10 years later time jump. And don't get comfortable here, because we're going to another time jump next week, which seems like a bit much.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you adapt a story which takes place over a span of 30 years. And there's not even that much. It's 150 pages, people. There's not a lot of source material to draw. It's 150 pages, and we're on page, like, 45.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, what stood out to me from 106, which was way long ago for you guys, audience, was Sir Harwin Strong is now here. He is obviously the father of Rhaenyra's children.
Yes.
They all have brown hair. Everybody in the castle is just pretending like they... either pretending they don't know that the lineage of Rhaenyra's children is not by a Valyrian, and just people talking about it like, how are we just going along with this lie? So Kristen Cole is still somehow around and just goading Heroin Strong, would be like, wow, why don't you let those blonde children beat up those kids? Are you their father?
Now it's time for James's book reading complaining corner. Can anybody sing me a book reading complaining corner intro song?
Book reading complaining corner.
So here's what really grinds my gears. In the books, Harwin Strong is the sworn protector of Rhaeny, which would make sense why he's with her all the time. And in the show, they made him the captain of the city watch. And like, why would you be with the queen all the time, or the princess, or whatever? Like, what? Why are you here, dude? Isn't it weird
this
that he's always
like
with the queen? But it's like, it's such a pointless change. It's such a pointless change.
You don't like the logistics of the employment?
And all it does is make the situation make less sense. And then the character is dead by the end of the episode anyway. So making the change changed nothing. I honestly think they're like, oh, people are too stupid. We already established the City Watch, so we'll just stick with that. Because they're not going to be like, what's this guy's job?
You know what? I didn't even pick up on that, James. I just assumed he was another, like, King's Watchman guard.
And, yeah, like that would be more correct than what the show says.
Okay, well, but as you just said,
he is barely here, right? He is goaded by Kristen Cole. They get in a fight. He gets fired and sent back home. His dad, the Hand of the King, is like, I'll bring him back. And then the weird Clubfoot son is just like, hey, Allison, listen, they're a big problem for you right now. Harwin's obviously Rhaenyra's kid's dad. That's gross. Everyone hates that. We understand. And they're going back, and it'd just be easier if they weren't here. And Allison was like, yeah, I guess, but no one's insane enough to, I don't know, burn down Harrenhal with a bunch of dudes who got their tongues lashed out moments ago. No one would ever do that. I did it. I did that.
They're again, dead. In the novella, it is made explicit that Harwin is really the father of Rhaenys' children. That's just like a rumor that a lot of people are saying if they're against her. And so the show just bought into that and presented it as fact. Another interesting decision that they made there. Also, I gotta say, Kristen Cole, still around, still has a job, killed a man, killed a highborn man in front of a group of, an entire wedding party. Didn't lose his job, no punishment. He's still here.
I don't know why.
He hasn't aged, and he's still a douchebag, and he's like, well, I'm mad at my ex for breaking up with me, so I'm gonna, beat up her innocent children.
Yeah, I'm Team Allison now, / Team Green. And I'm over here doing whatever I want, being the most annoying character on the show by far.
What I really wonder, though, now that we're really getting into it, are there going to be deranged, psychotic, pro-Allison supporters amongst the fans?
Yes.
Insane.
Yeah. People will be Team Green. And even with what happened in 107, which... It was insane. So Larys Strong, the Clubfoot man, now getting in real deep with Allison because he's just like, you told me to. And she's like, I didn't, man. I did not tell you to do that.
Immediately, Kristen Cole, beat this dude to death right now.
Okay.
I mean, I've done it for way less.
The Clubfoot guy is like, kind of weirds me out.
I think that's what they're going
this
for.
This is such lazy naming from George R. R. Martin. Okay, so the Master of Spies is Varys in Game of Thrones, and in Hot D, it'll be Larys.
Yeah, a real large jump.
And he's not the spider, he's the bumblebee man.
He just is weird, man. I don't know. I don't know. He's got ulterior motives.
Obviously. He's picking a side. He's putting his chips on Team Allison / Team Green, and he's all in. We also, in 106, get to meet all the children. And for a little bit there, it kind of felt like they were forcing them upon the audience. Like, these people matter now. They weren't here at all before, but these two blonde children, the one that's older and everyone who's not Rhaenyra and her faction, wants to be king, and then the blonde-headed stepchild, the second one, Aemon, who just keeps going into the dragon pit trying to get murdered by a dragon, and then also Harwin's kids with Rhaenyra. They have brown hair. That's how you know that's them. They have no distinctive qualities and are not interesting at all. They just keep getting the shit kicked out of them by the blonde people.
So boring.
Do you care about them? Do you guys care?
Not at all.
I do kind of like the two now Allison's princes. Prince Aegon, Prince Aemon. I like them because they're both kind of weird and distinct. And I Aegon, I think, has a pretty cool attitude where, he doesn't give a shit about succession and he just wants to party.
Yes.
Yeah.
The way we get introduced to him, as you might recall, was he was standing in a window, pleasuring himself, hoping that he would just cover the kingdom in his juice. It was weird.
That was so unnecessary, man.
I liked it.
I didn't. It was HBO, baby. Freaking weird, dude. Yeah, it's not even why? Why is that scene there? And then his mom comes in, no big deal. And she's like, hey, put your clothes on.
Like, right. This is not the first time this has happened, yeah, obviously.
Just like, oh, you need to put your pee-pee away, son.
I think it was a good introduction to that character. You understand who that kid is from the very beginning. All he wants to do is get drunk and masturbate in windows. That's his whole thing, man.
Cover the land with his seed. Yeah, exactly, man. That was what I felt. I didn't like it.
No.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
So the groundwork for these two factions obviously being laid in 106. At the end of it, Rhaenyra goes to Laenor and is like, let's just get out of here, right? like, let's just not be here anymore. Let's not sail towards the oncoming storm. Let's escape. And he's like, Laenor is like, yeah, sure, I'm barely in this show. So yeah, let's get out of here.
And then they go to Dragonstone, which historically a place where boring things happen in this show, or at least in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I liked seeing the dragons actually just like kind of hanging out on the beaches and stuff. Like
at the end of episode 6, the Rogue P's wife is like having a bad labor. And rather than be killed by maesters or whatever, runs over to her dragon, Vhagar, the last of the three conqueror's dragons, and gets burned to death. And so they have to have a royal funeral.
Vhagar, the biggest of the dragons who are living, looks like an old geezer dragon, but he's gigantic. And I think the most interesting part of that scene, other than the fact that she did suicide by dragon, her own dragon, was that the maesters were like, we got to cut her open and try to get the kid out, but it will definitely kill her. So Daemon, the rogue pea baby, given the same exact moral conundrum that Viserys got and choosing something else. Choosing, no, don't do that. That sounds insane. But she was obviously having a hard time with being an Estus, or Pentos, and also a hard time with this particular pregnancy. I don't think they dove far enough in to completely earn her asking her own dragon to burn her to death, but it was metal as fuck. Okay,
and I know that, Ryan, this must have crossed your mind, and I'm sure it crossed a lot of people's minds. I was like, oh, well, but what if she's unburnt like Dany and then fire some work on her?
Turns out, nope, she's a skeleton.
Yeah. I felt the same way, though, Ryan. It happened so quick. Everything just happened so quick to lead to that. And I was like, that's not justified, is it?
Yeah.
Like,
and then Damon's reaction is so understated, too. He just kind of looks worried.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no. Yeah, it was just this a feeling of like, I knew she was sad, but I didn't know she was that sad. And when she asked when she asked Vhagar to burn her alive, Vhagar was like, what are you talking about?
He's like, that's crazy. Are you sure?
Are you really? Because it's like like the audience might think you're not burning, but I know you're going to burn for sure.
So here's a detail, Adam, that you might not know. These dragons, they can only be bonded with one rider at a time. And Targaryens, they actually fly the dragons, not with the harness or anything, but basically they use their telepathic link that they make with the dragons in order to fly them. The Starks also have this kind of ability, but with wolves.
Oh, okay. Those dire wolves, am I right?
That you are correct. Yeah, so like there are moments in Game of Thrones where Daenerys is in trouble and her dragons like feel it in their dragon bones and then go and save her. Yes. A little bit.
Gotcha. I mean, I like that. I think that's neat.
As we get to 107, the first 20 minutes, the first thing that they ever shot with a bunch of people who didn't know each other, and you have everybody there. You have all the kids. You have the adult versions of Alicent and Rhaenyra. You have Corlys. You have the princess who was promised and then snatched away. You have Otto, by the way, is now the Hand of the King again because the other guy got burned to death because of the Harrenhal curse slash his Clubfoot son killed him for funsies. And you have Viserys looking Gollum. And he's Gollum, but he looks like he just looks real bad. Yeah. Daemon's there laughing at the funeral of his wife, which was off-putting.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was just like, what is Daemon truly? I don't know what's going through his mind almost at any given point.
Rhaenyra is.
Yeah, that's possible.
Viserys, King Normal Guy, tries to squash the beef. He's like, hey, dead wife, I've been there. Let's be friends again, brother. And Rogue P just seriously flips out like a fucking spaz. He's like, no, I don't want to make up with you.
All the while, the blonde children, the oldest ones, just getting wasted. And the blonde girl, I don't remember her name, but she's playing with a spider and she creeps me out.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
We should also say Alicent's two kids. One of them hatched a dragon egg and is a dragon rider. That's the oldest son, Aemond. But the younger son, Aegon, did not hatch an egg, and so does not have a dragon.
I think you just flipped up. You flipped M. You did a flip.
Yeah.
Listen, it's hard. All the names are the same.
So weird. But a question about the dragon gifting. Like, they're given a dragon egg, right?
Every time a Targaryen is born, a dragon egg is placed in their crib. Most of the time, they will hatch, but oftentimes they don't.
Okay, now what made it, did his just not hatch, or did he not get one?
Just bad luck, bro. He got one and it didn't bad hatch. Luck. Yeah,
he got one of them dud eggs. Which was why back in 106, they were discussing, like, they were basically, the old Aemon and the brunette children were goading him because they were like, you don't have a dragon, you fucking suck.
Yeah, I recognized that he didn't have one, but I didn't like pick up that it got just bad luck, bro.
So I was gonna say we went pretty quick, but like episode 6, I found extremely boring. Episode 7, it really fucking takes off.
Oh yeah,
the night of this funeral, and Aemond sneaks out, and Vhagar, currently riderless, and he seizes the fucking ultimate opportunity and jumps on Vhagar and bonds with her, and
so quickly,
yes. And Vhagar is currently the biggest dragon left. It was one of the three dragons that Aegon the Conqueror and his sisters took to Westeros. So it's the oldest, biggest dragon in the world currently.
So he just got, like, all the nuke codes. This one dragon is, there are not many dragons that would even be able to take Vhagar on 2v1. Maybe Caraxes, Daemon's dragon, maybe Sunfire, but, like, Vhagar is the alpha dragon for sure.
For sure.
And that is the scene that we were discussing at the beginning, being dark as fuck. I think it's obvious that it was shot during the day, and then they made it look like the night. Some reason, they were watching it on a screen, and not one person was like, should we take the brightness up a little bit?
Oh, it was so bad. Like, I hate that effect too, where you can clearly see it's daylight. I don't like that. They use that in like B movies, and it pisses me off.
B movie starring Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah. What are you? Oh. You like jazz?
I love jazz.
That scene comes straight from the books, and it rolls into the next one, which is where Rhaeny's kids and Rogue P's kids, whose mom used to ride Vhagar, are like, what the fuck, dude? That was supposed to go to one of us. You just stole a dragon from us. And he's like,
didn't seize the opportunity.
Too bad, man. Carpe diem. Yeah. And it turns into a horrifying child brawl where there these kids who are like under 10 are savaging each other. And Aemond is taking it way too far and is about to like stove in Rhaeny's youngest son. When Rhaeny's older son slashes him in the face with a dagger.
It was pretty epic.
One of Rhaenyra's sons pocket sands Aemon, and then he gets slashed in the face. The oldest blonde boy, not there, drunk somewhere, Otto Hightower, like, brought him away at some point. And yes, Aemond is taking it way too far. about to bash one of their fucking heads in with a rock, which somehow doesn't get brought up later, and that's insane. But yeah, he get his eye taken out, and then it gets to, I think, my favorite scene so far in House of the Dragon, which is that like 15-minute scene where lines are fucking drawn, dude.
Oh yeah.
And that scene fucking ruled, and that was straight from the books. And the next scene, original of the show, and I thought maybe the best scene of the show so far.
So let's talk about the scene where all of the parents are taking account of what happened in the child.
And Ryan, isn't this kind of like, you know, Joffrey and Arya by the stream in episode 2?
100%. And as you might recall, in the Game of Thrones, one of the wolves died. Like, Robert Baratheon offhandedly, when Cersei was like, there must be an eye for an eye, which is literally happening in House of the Dragon and metaphorically happening in Game of Thrones, Robert Baratheon's just like, kill one of the goddamn direwolves. Who gives a shit? Like, let's all just move on with their fucking lives, when Joffrey in Game of Thrones was obviously the one at fault. But in this, the difference is that King Viserys is not Robert Baratheon. He's King Normal Guy. And he's still, because he's been doing this like with the only little energy that he has, still trying to squash beef. And while, as me personally, I'm like, dude, this is obviously gone farther than, hey, please stop.
Right. And I don't know about you guys, but I think Viserys like really fucking bungled this. He is much more worried about the issue of like the parentage of Rhaenys' kids and people starting rumors or saying shit about them. That's his only concern. When one of his kids just had their eye torn out, and he like doesn't seem to care much about that at all.
Yeah, right. It was like an afterthought.
And it obviously enrages Alicent, because she's like, because exactly like you just said, like, your son is never going to see out of his left eye again. It got fucking taken out. Right. It's on the beach somewhere. Are you out of your mind? Like, there's nothing going to happen from your mouth right now about that. And then he walks up to the oldest Targaryen boy and he's like, who told you this slander? And honestly, the most endearing moment for that character, when the kid was like, dude, everyone knows.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
I know.
And then
cat's out of the bag,
all Viserys has to say about it is, anyone who says that Luke and Jace are bastards is committing treason. And Alicent just can't take it anymore. And she's like, Kristen Cole, bring me Luke Targaryen's eye.
Unreal.
And Kristen Cole's like, oh, perfect. Yeah, I would love to do that.
What a bad mother.
I'm going to go attack that child.
But I was just like, dude, Kingsguard can't attack the royal family. I mean Kristen Cole can do whatever he wants, apparently, but like, you'd think if he moved to do that, the other Kingsguard in the room would have to fight him, right? Like,
yeah.
They don't. They look at him about to go do it, and they're like, what do we do? Yeah, I'm not sure.
How do we navigate this?
Damon in the corner still just laughing, being like, just watching the world burn down and being really psyched about it.
When Viserys orders Kristen Cole to stand down, fucking Alicent grabs a Valyrian steel dagger and moves to, like, attack the children. And Rhaeny actually looks like she's loving this, because she's not afraid of Alicent at all. And so she's just, like, catches her hand, and she's like, you fucking bitch, now everyone knows how crazy you are.
Yeah.
It's what Rhaeny wanted. She wanted Alicent to show who she truly was, and that's right. What she says to her face, still goading her, at which point Alicent slashes at her, and now with Rhaeny bleeding, and Viserys being like, okay, well, now it's really done, guys, okay? Now, it's been a lot, and now we should really stop.
Everyone go to their rooms, we'll reconvene in the morning.
So what they've done here, quite masterfully, I think, and you got to give it to the showrunners, is give Alicent a much richer motivation than she has in the books. Because in the book, she's just like a Lady Macbeth type. She's just power hungry for her kids. But here, like, she keeps getting fucked over by this shitty dragon family.
The shitty dragon family.
Including her husband, who just didn't stand up for her child and his child. So she's like, well, then I got to take it into my own hands and actually do something about this. While, by the way, her father watches, and you're thinking to yourself, if you're me, Otto Hightower just got this job again as the Hand of the King. And he, although did obviously tell Allison 10 years ago, like, if you don't get a hold of this shit, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Your children are going to die. So fucking buck the fuck up. And I loved the scene after that where he walks in and Allison's like, just tell me I fucked up. Just tell me I did a bad job. And he was like, no, I loved it.
Yes, queen. Literally.
Yeah.
Yes, queen.
But again, as I mentioned before, in that scene where they were, you know, all discussing the fight that happened, no one was like, hey, he was going to hit me with a rock and kill me.
But that would have they believed them at that point? Or were just like, oh, you're just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah. All of the children were telling half lies that are based on what they want everyone to think is true.
Right.
But it's another example of how Jace and Luke are barely characters right now, who, why would anyone care about them at all? And they're just there to be silent and have things happen to them, except for, I suppose, when they're on a beach throwing sand in somebody's eyes and slashing an eyeball out. But like Amond and Aegon, or Aegon, like, you know exactly who they are by the end of this episode.
Yeah, you know that Amond is the Joffrey of this show.
Yeah. You've done a really good job with two of these characters, and you've done a really bad job with the other two.
Amond is Joffrey and Jaime fusion together, basically.
And he comes out of this episode as a person who is obviously detestable, but I'm not rooting for him to fail. I want him to be around.
The child actor who played Amond, I think, was the best child actor on any Game of Thrones show so far.
So
he
good.
Was amazing.
Which is why it really sucks that he's gone now.
Yeah, he's gone. Say goodbye.
We're done with them.
Is that Say the masturbating goodbye. One?
No, this is the one.
No, that's the oldest one. We're talking about Amond, who takes on Vhagar.
Bad eyes.
Bad eye. So bad. Gotcha. He doesn't have an eyeball anymore.
Yeah.
And for us to only have these actors for two episodes is a disservice to the audience and really sucks. Because we see in the trailer, they're going ahead more years. Right. And we're getting new actors for both of those children and for Luke and Jace at the same time, which is fine for me because I'm not attached at all to those two brown haired children because they didn't try at all to get me to be attached to them. But they did a good job with the other two and they're gone.
So like Amond is such a little shit. I mean, but again, like the kid, the performance, he's killing it. And I love that line where he's like, it's all right, mother. It was a fair price. They got an eye. I got a dragon.
Yeah, I loved that. That was great.
It was cool because he sees the broader picture. He's at 30,000 feet on the biggest dragon in the world being like, who cares about it? I don't need to see.
My dragon will see for me.
Like literally, Adam, yes, he will.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He will look through the dragon's eyes.
Yeah, and amongst all of this, Daemon and Rhaenyra go for a little walk on the beach. They put that in their online dating profiles that they love long walks on the beach while a tiny child flies over them on the biggest dragon in the world. That's something very specific they both said. And they're discussing how they should be together. Damon's like, well, we can't, dude. You have a husband. And she was like, that's a solid point that I bet we could take care of anyway. Let's bone.
So well, that was after the boning.
Yeah. And then they hatch this insane conspiracy. But before that, there's a great scene where Laenor is like, you know what, Rainy? I'm sorry. I've been detached and I haven't been performing my role of sham husband and father enough, but now I'm really gonna do it. Let's you and I do this together as partners. I'm gonna be a new man. And Rainy's like, great, do that for a whole day.
Yes. And then, as I recall, I watched a video that said, and this is not from me reading it obviously, but I'm sure you know this, James, where in the book, doesn't Laenor actually die? And in the show, they chose, nope, it's just like a fake out death.
Yeah, right.
Where
I like the fake out.
So Daemon pays his boyfriend to murder him. And then either the
Laenor's boyfriend.
Yeah, Laenor's boyfriend, that is. And then either Laenor and the boyfriend on their own hatch a second scheme, or this is part of Daemon's scheme all along, where like Laenor just, you know, basically empties his parents' ATM and runs off with his boyfriend and fakes his death. And I have to say, sorry, guys. I don't know if it's because I was tired or what, but like they show that big reveal as the last image that like, oh, Laenor's not dead. He's leaving. He's faking his death. And I was just like, oh, and now he's just on the rowboat with some random guy. Because again, they keep changing actors. Right. When I think of Lenore, I visualize the younger actor. Same as when I think of Rainey, I think of the younger actress. So sorry, that's on me. I did not know until after the episode sequence. In the after episode sequence, they're like, and then Lenore got away. I was like, he did?
Yeah. It loses its power when it's you deal with literally what we're going to deal with, three different actors for these characters over the course of this show. Like,
I mean, he is on that boat with his haircut. And so there were a lot of people on the internet who didn't realize the same thing you didn't realize, James. It wasn't, you are not alone in this. But it also speaks to the idea that you, especially in this show, but you know, you think you're falling in love with characters, but you're not. You're falling in love with actors' portrayals of characters. Right. So when they keep interchanging these actors, you sort of have to like re-like them or not every time. 106 basically was a second pilot because they were like, you just need to fall back in love with these characters. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, I like new Rainey. I like new Alicent. I think they're both doing a very, very good job. Sure. I'm going to miss the other versions of them for sure, but I like them. They did a good enough job of making me like them. All the children at the end of 106, I barely cared. And at the end of 107, as I just said, I finally got to like two of them.
Right.
And then they're snatching them away.
Yeah. And
maybe they'll
Game
be
of
just
Thrones
as good in eight.
Has always been kind of sloppy with the aging thing. And, you know, some of that is just the restrictions of dealing with real actors who, like, don't age the way you want them to. And in Game of Thrones, we had Arya and Sansa growing up into early adulthood while Gilly's baby is, like, still a baby.
Right.
You know, there's issues like that. And then my dad was kind of laughing about how the Rogue P has been 38 for the past 25 years.
Like, exactly. And like, they didn't even try to age him. They didn't even try anything to age him.
I had a good line when during the romance scene, like before they hooked up, he's like, well, Rainey, now that we're the same age, now that it's been 20 years and we're the same age, why don't we get married?
All that's changed on me is I got a different wig. There are three Damon wigs, and that's how you know. And so I wear a different wig, and when I do crimes, I have a hoodie. I have a hoodie for crimes. And anyway, let's bang.
Yeah, this wig is slightly thinning.
I loved episode 7. I thought it was one of the best so far.
Yeah, it was great.
I really wonder like where they're going to be by the end of episode 10. I'm not really checking out the buzz online, but my elderly father is very annoyed. He's like, when is the dragon war? And I'm like, it's coming. Relax.
I know. I want more dragons. God, we got more dragons here, which was psyched. I was psyched. Hyped.
Yeah. 107 was really cool to see three dragons in the same place at the same time that weren't Dany's dragons. Mm. And all of these dragons are now not on the same team, which... like your dad, a part of me is just like, I want dragons to fight. I want it now.
Oh, it'll be interesting. I'm waiting for fire breathing dragon wars. That's what I want.
I just like I forgot how Kristen Cole dies in the book, so I'm just really looking forward to that. Being surprised.
Maybe he's immortal at the end. Maybe he just he grows up and he becomes the Hound. He's still in Game of Thrones. That'd be cool.
But, like, they're already foreshadowing, like, the end of Allison's story, and that shit is dark. We shall see.
Hell yeah. I'm intrigued. I don't want to know any more about the future, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they are, they're foreshadowing it. You better
no,
believe
it. I gather that as much, yeah.
I really liked the shot. It was an aerial shot above them, where truly, like, they just picked a side and walked to a different side of a room and looked at each other menacingly. And I was like, that should have been the end. The end should not have been Lenore, who like half the internet couldn't even tell was him, on a boat. Who cares about that part? Just have it, the end be Alicent and Rhaenyra looking at each other like, I'm gonna come for that fucking ass.
Mm.
Here's a question for you guys. What show are we going to talk about when Hot D's over?
How much time is in between Hot D and The Last of Us?
Many months.
Oh, so many months.
Well,
there isn't there
Oh, Perry Mason's
going to be soon. There's a new HBO show coming out. What'd you say?
I think Perry Mason's getting a season two soon. I love that shit.
White Lotus is coming out.
White Lotus is the answer.
Yeah, I want to do White Lotus for sure.
White Lotus season two is happening at the end of October.
Yeah.
And that is the answer. In fact, I think it will be really cool for us three to do it because it will sort of like topsy-turvy the hot D dynamic that we have where Adam doesn't really know anything. But James, if you actually get to getting and watch White Lotus season one before season two comes out, you could be like a freshly binged White Lotai.
Yeah, and it's worth it.
And well, join really us on our second season adventure.
And I would like to join you. And I had an excellent night recording this episode with you guys. And I'll actually see you guys this weekend, probably at Chad's funeral. And we can hook up then.
Jesus Christ, that's dark.
What? Excuse me?
Well, because, you know, that's why he hasn't been on the show for so long.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I messaged him today because the Halloween one-shot, the yearly Halloween one-shot, a sequel to last year's, I really want to record soon. I was like, Chad, just give me any day, you might be free. Did not get back to me.
He didn't even get back to me. Ghosted.
Yeah, it was really chill.
So chill.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.